strength I don't know how to play. And I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive sparked. Zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my.
Hello and welcome to the 12th episode of GamerCore, brought to you by the National Institute for Gamer Review. I am DK.
I'm Lewis, and I've been acquired by the pause button. Check that out on the Boys State episode.
Yes, big round of applause. And actually, I mean, I think theoretically, I was supposed to be on that episode. I just couldn't make it for logistical reasons. But we're definitely psyched to have the pause button back, and definitely check out that episode. But we are here today to discuss some ongoing half breaking news from the gaming industry, which is Microsoft's acquisition or announced acquisition plan to take over Activision Blizzard. There's interestingly, as a few days after the deal was announced, there's some question as to, from regulators, like, is Microsoft becoming a monopoly, I guess, which I don't think.
A good question 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's no longer a good question. And I mean, it's not even a monopoly in the gaming industry.
Well, it's not a monopoly in like the U.S. corporate law sense of the word is autistic.
Yeah, sure.
You have to own not only the whole industry, but like all the suppliers.
You have to be able to unilaterally set prices. I think that what it comes down to is if you can unilaterally set prices, then that's a monopoly.
Yeah. You're more actually likely to get action if you were in theory trying to do like legal activism by calling a series of companies a cartel.
Yeah.
Than you are like accusing one company of being an
monopoly. Or even get like RICO involved or something, right? Like,
yeah. U.S. corporate law, and I wanted to bring this up as like an aside, is so absurd. I believe this case that's leaked in Michigan. Have you seen this? With the these nurses and like expert techs and stuff at this hospital in Michigan.
Is it COVID stuff?
No, it's just pure corporate law and how insane corporate law is right now and how pure.
No, I don't know this.
This is wonderful. This is like sentient.
Nice.
So Michigan's like an at-will state.
I haven't had my libertarian tickled in a while.
Oh yeah. So Michigan's an at-will state, and they there's multiple hospitals in the state, and you know that excuse me, this hospital wasn't treating its like non-doctor techs very well. It's non-doctor techs are important to a hospital, and so, you know, high-level nurses, they think like radiology and like high-level heart surgery stuff. So these are important people who should make a good bit of money and should be treated well, you know, you would assume. So there was a hospital, you know, a couple, like the next town over was like, oh yeah, no, we'll give you, like they had heard, hey, they weren't getting some like, their shifts were messed, like they were getting like long shifts and they were getting not enough money. They're like, oh, come here, we'll give you the shorter shifts and the better money and the better benefit package. And they're like, cool. And they went to their company that owned them, in theory, under this legal definition that comes up later.
You gotta be kidding.
And says, hey, can you match this?
Yeah.
And they said, go fuck yourself.
Sure.
So they left.
Yeah.
They sued both them and the other company.
For like a non-compete violation?
No. It's at will. It's at will because they have no obligations over them. Because it's a medical, like a heart, level 3 or 4 heart clinic or ward, they would lose that status if these were left. There's a public safety interest in not letting them go until they can be replaced. And the judge agreed on like the first hearing.
Wow.
And that's just how corporate law is, like a joke in the U.S. It's not a real thing. They do whatever they want. You have like the pro fag corporate party on the left, and like the pro black pro war. Well, they're up.
They're both pro war.
Yeah, I mean. Corporate party on the right. It's everything's a joke. And
no, the right is the pro fag. The left is the pro
tranny. It's hard to. They're all like,
the right's pro tranny, man.
It's a uni. Yeah, like, and the unitrans party is and so like corporate law in America as a way of doing anything is like over effectively. The courts will never break up any kind of monopoly ever. And that's the world you live in. So people are like, oh yeah, the regulators are concerned about Microsoft controlling.
Yeah, it's a joke. I agree. Well, that's like I think leads to the so there's this article on PC Gamer, which it's sort of like the tabs. It's the main. It's not the only thing I necessarily look, but it is kind of the and it's got big. You know, they have all kinds of interesting. I think I've documented, especially on Post, how like every time there's like a tranny article, the comments are disabled. Like they actually have a fairly active comment section. And but then anytime, especially the tranny shit, it's just they don't even. Of course, they shut that down. And their op-eds tend to be bad, but they're still worth keeping tabs on. I think because it's the most, to me at least, it's the most palatable. Like, would you call it? Can you call it print journalism if it's only on? Like, no, they have a magazine, so it's print journalism.
Yeah. Long form journalism.
Long form, whatever. Yeah, it's the. I mean, I'm not going to read Kotaku. Yeah. And anyway, not to justify, just to explain like why. But then occasionally you do see kind of interesting pieces like this, by Tyler Wilde titled "Microsoft's Big Acquisitions Aren't Likely to Hold PC Gaming Back," and I think even just in the first paragraph we can maybe 1.5 speed it, but I like there's a lot to say, and I think he's kind of on the right track. Begins. After gobbling up Minecraft, The Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Doom, and more, Microsoft just became the future owner of Call of Duty, Diablo, Overwatch, and Warcraft. Xbox boss Phil Spencer's consolidation of game studios is starting to look a little like the congealing of the film industry that led to Disney's simultaneous control of Marvel, Star Wars, and James Cameron's Avatar, its crown jewel. Now that's just an absurd. It's called Avatar. I mean, the thing that
that's satirical. I think.
Are you? Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. I would hope so.
That's a good bit. I actually.
he fooled me. Yeah. Well, I mean, he continues. And then I want to circle back. For now, I put my feelings about Microsoft's Activision Blizzard acquisition somewhere on par with the discovery that Purina Dog Chow and Cheerios are both made by Nestle, a slight discomfort that slides into resignation. It's true that Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel movies basically feel the same, but is that a consequence of Disney's ownership or a consequence of them being the sort of enormous mass-market phenomena that only a mass-market company like Disney could own? It's hard to feel worried that Spencer will somehow violate the sanctity of Call of Duty and Overwatch in a way that Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick wouldn't. Would Cheerios be better if General Mills made them? I think the obvious answer to that is no, and I mean, what he's sort of like not... The thing that he's well, he this is ultimately where he goes, kind of in the article. But I think the comparison is spot on in that, like, okay, I actually never played Minecraft. I understand it's probably still popular among the kids that like it. Elder Scrolls hasn't put out a new game since the Elder Scrolls Online, which I don't know how much that even really counts. I mean, everybody like they literally just announced another edition of Skyrim, like literally. Fallout, which arguably hasn't been interesting or even that relevant since New Vegas. Doom, okay, I'll give you Doom, but whatever. It's interesting that at least half of these properties are lukewarm at best. You know, I mean, we're talking warmed over stuff that isn't interesting, isn't dynamic, isn't particularly necessarily all that relevant, and may have a large player base for now. But like he makes that point about World of Warcraft. But yeah. Marvel, Star Wars, like, I mean, I don't know. I get accused of not being in touch with this, and maybe I'm not. But did that new Marvel, what was it, the Eternal? I don't even remember the Invincibles. What was it, the Eternals?
I want to make a joke about calling it, like, the Pajits or the Browns, because it was. But then I don't remember if it was more Brown or more Pajit or more. There was, like, an Iranian guy? I don't know.
Fuck if I know.
Dude, yeah, no one watches that shit.
Yeah, it's just not.
People want to see the Spider-Man, and that's about
yes,
it.
Yes, people want to see Spider-Man. That's true. People definitely want to see Spider-Man. People may want to see...
Batman.
Batman? I don't know. People didn't go see Justice League.
No, but if you do a thing calling it like the Batman thing, you're going to... People going to watch it. It's... There's enough Hispanic teens and middle-aged white guys that'll...
Oh, it's the Batman thing. Yeah. The new Batman movie. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I think the all this stuff is played out.
But
right?
Yeah, but when I hear like... currently popular, you know, lack of innovation, maybe. I think Microsoft, you know? These things are all like...
Yes.
Yeah, you know?
Very much so. Yeah, they're, you know, it's middleware. I mean, that's like, they're the whole thing. You know, they're the guys who do the infrastructure architecture stuff that other people build on.
Also, they announced, like, they're not going to do anything cool. Like, you would think, oh, they're going to try to, like, do some, like, you know, what you call, like, corporate terrorism by holding it over Sony or something like that. Like, they're not going to give them Call of Duty. They're not. They said they're not going to do any of that stuff. They're going
right.
to honor all the current informal and formal agreements yeah. with Sony.
Well, I mean, it stands to... I mean, this is the like... We in the context of like console exclusives, that's sort of. I mean, we've mentioned this before.
Like, would you rather EA have bought them? Like at the end of the day,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Much worse, probably. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. That's the General Mills in this example, yeah. right? Yeah, exactly. Like EA. I mean, all these, but that's the. I think the ultimate point is you know where how to say like. Where is the innovation coming from? Where is the cool new stuff coming from? I'll skip a little bit down. He goes, which brings me to my point finally. What makes PC gaming special? The reason it has a name at all in this era of cross-platform everything is that it takes place on an open platform where anyone can release software without approval or licensing. That's what makes it different from Xbox, PlayStation, or iPhone gaming, and what ensures that revolutions can always foment in the shadows of mass market giants like Microsoft. Weird, surprising games and trends that catch everyone by surprise. The most current of these is still Battle Royale, which began as a mod on one of the PC's most open, flexible games, Arma. And there was also a Minecraft mod, for the record. I didn't know that. But it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It's an easy bet that the next genre phenomenon will arise from a fertile area like this, where experimentation and free distribution are possible. I would add, are still possible. It's not just... Battle Royale, many of the other biggest games and genres in esports in the world started as mods. Obviously, there's links to an article about Defense of the Ancients, but, you know, there's others as well. I believe the team that made XCOM 2 got a lot of people from the Long War. It was, like, people with Long War modding experience that, like, joined Firaxis. I would have to look that up, but I believe that's the case. And there's a long history of just mod developers going on to
cross pollination.
Yeah,
guys quitting and becoming modders.
Was it Marquis de Bossade? I think we had that Marquis de Bossade thread about
Battlefield. Picked up. Yeah, 2042 modders became
designers
for Battlefield 2, I think.
And
then it became the core of DICE anyway. Like DICE
exactly
became DICE core.
It's definitely. I think that's definitely. True, like even if it's not necessarily mods per se, but like the interesting stuff is all happening with smaller teams, whether or not they're like formally independent. I don't even know that. I mean, the indie gaming label is even stupider than the indie music label ever was, and it was pretty dumb when it came to college rock. So, but I think that's ultimately to me the way I look at it, I guess, is Microsoft isn't like, what is Microsoft going to change? Is Microsoft going to make World of Warcraft suddenly be relevant? Like, in a way, if they do, like, yeah, of course not. But if they did, like, good for them, because Blizzard is currently failing horribly, you know, like everything. Like, what has Blizzard done?
Are you with the hottest take of this?
Please.
It's a PR move.
For whom? For Blizzard. Activision? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that was my first thought.
It's over.
That was my first thought.
Now you can shut the fuck up. But, touched the tit some point. Like,
right.
Who cares?
That was my first thought. It was like, as soon as I saw the news break, I was like, oh, okay, now this is...
Because, people think they can influence, like, a gaming studio because they have in the past, like,
complain. For maybe, like, historical context. But if you
can, like, complain, Microsoft's going to tell you, like, there's, like, no complaint department at Microsoft that gives a fuck.
Right.
If you're not actively, like, in a class action suit, they're not going to talk to you. If you are not like,
right. Yeah, you think Microsoft HR is going to be like,
oh, your Xbox is red ringed. I don't buy a new one. Go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah, yep. So no, I don't think Microsoft HR gives a shit about any of that, and or to the extent that they can like, only to the extent that they're going to avoid any kind of legal liability, which ultimately was what I think causes that was. As I said, I kept saying just now, my first thought as soon as I saw the news is like, yeah, this is about the sexual harassment shit and the California lawsuit, and this is essentially a certain kind of capitulation. I find it interesting because when I first saw it, I was also like, huh, I guess that I guess they're selling at a discount because of that, but no,
full price,
like most
arguably
expensive.
Higher than you could maybe predict.
Yeah,
$68 billion was the figure. It was right below $70 billion.
I think it was,
which is insane.
It was even like $68.7 billion.
That's a retarded valuation.
That's what I'm saying. Is like they overpaid. That's what I was gonna say. Is like the opposite. is like, I thought they would get them at a discount, but
everyone knows in like corporate valuations that like scandals pass and you know.
Right, I guess. Yeah, but well, okay, but then that raises the question of like, okay, but what is it that makes Activision Blizzard valuable? Right? Like why?
What would you tell the Call of Duty license for?
Sorry?
If you could sell like the Call of Duty license to make Call of Duties to a different publisher, it's probably worth like $5 billion.
Yeah, that, maybe.
That's one chunk.
That's one chunk.
Chunk like that. You got a chunk like that for...
But I mean, Diablo, like, I'm really curious what's going to happen with new Diablo, man. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's one of these things where, like, I mean, this is a series that peaked in 2002. Right? Like, I mean, the Diablo 3 rollout was a disaster. I played a fair amount of it just because it was like, I was doing socially with some friends. But, like, I never got the expansion. I don't think I'm alone in Diablo 3 players, you know, and then they had the whole thing with the real money auction house. And I guess there's like a contingent.
Too close to the sun. Had they released that like 5 years later, everyone would be totally cool with it.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 That's 100% correct. But to the broader point, like, if you want to play an action RPG, unless you just have some weird attachment to the label Diablo, like, Path of Exile keeps getting... It's free to play, and it keeps getting massive... I've never played it. I'm kind of on the fence about... I mean, I like action RPGs, but not that much, I guess. Path of Exile is free to play, has just major expansion after major expansion. Grim Omen fucking rocks. There's just, like... What was it? I think, what was it? Titan Quest, which is another kind of cult favorite ARPG, just got... After like, basically, it's like a, I think it was like 2006 or 2007. It wasn't that long after Diablo 2, and they just got an expansion, and like, there's like, you know, movement. I think it's THQ Nordic, making moves with Titan Quest. So like, there's no lack of for people who just like the genre of action RPGs. There's a dedicated contingent. There are people who it's an active like genre, and you don't need Diablo for that. And Blizzard is having all these problems. I don't mean at all like necessarily the sexual harassment stuff. I mean, just game design wise, their stuff sucks. And yeah, that's why I'm curious as to like how valuable is Diablo. You know what I mean? Like, okay, Call of Duty, especially as a thing you can farm out. Sure, I get that. World of Warcraft? Like, okay, they still have
like an actual valuation of like actual incoming money over month. They probably actually have, if I was to call World of Warcraft LLC and like how much month, what's their monthly revenue for costs? They're probably worth $1 billion.
I'm sure, okay, $1 billion, but now we're up to six. You know what I mean? Like,
I bet you could, like, they have this Activision back catalog is.
It's substantial, for sure. But who's going to buy it? You know, like versus pirate it or whatever.
They can still make games.
They can make
games.
You mean in terms of the IP?
Yeah, just in terms of valuation. Yeah, it's worth that. Like, there's a back catalog that's, you know, 30 years old at this point, you know?
Yeah.
It's worth that to somebody. All these things, if you were to part this thing out and sell it, you'd probably make that money back.
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I doubt it. Really? I just don't think these things are that valuable anymore. I mean, like, some of them, like, what else was in the list? I mean, okay, well, but they already owned, the more relevant acquisition was of Bethesda. Like, Fallout has issues, but it's still, I if there's a next Fallout game and it's good, I would absolutely play the shit out of it, right? And same for Doom, which the new Dooms are awesome. So, you know, like, Bethesda is a success story, and Bethesda, unlike Blizzard, is managing their stuff well. Okay, Fallout 76 was a bit of a dud, but and even Fallout 4 to an extent, but it wasn't like bad. It was just, you know, not as good as previous series highlights. So you know, that from that perspective, like, I'm in a sense more concerned about Microsoft having influence over Bethesda than I am about Microsoft. Like, I also just don't play Activision games. Like, I play more EA games than Activision.
I have a feeling Activision isn't going to change like day-to-day anything. Nothing's going to change at Activision at all. Like, it's going to do the same thing. They just change now. Some games are going to be first party as opposed to third party on an Xbox. That's about it. Nothing ever happens. Companies this big are basically at a certain point almost like countries, and this is like a revolution or a coup, and nothing will change day to day for anybody until maybe like 3-4 years we'll notice something.
Right.
But like, I don't think like nothing changes. Nothing ever really changes.
Certainly not with, yeah, with these big guys. Yeah. Like you expect, like if EA bought whoever, like with that, you know, well, no, EA is the death. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, but it is in like 4 or 5 years. Like,
right.
Even like when they take over, you know, BioWare didn't die overnight. You know, BioWare took like 6 years to
where was I? Capitulate. I was reading something the other day about like, maybe it was even about this acquisition about like Raven Studios hasn't done anything since, you know, they've just been on essentially Call of Duty support work, and wouldn't it be cool to have a new Singularity? I'm like, it would, but you're not going to get that out of this deal. Like, what is wrong with your brain?
Yeah, but also like, who has been, is there like any big like Singularity heads left at Raven Studios?
Well, that's what I was, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, why would you even think that the guys who made it are currently doing whatever sound design or level design or something for the next Call of Duty expansion?
That man has been doing SMGs for the last 5 years. He's really good at SMGs.
I bet he is.
Leave him alone. That's all he cares about.
I bet he is, yeah.
Do you know how good those SMGs are?
I actually don't play Call of Duty, so no, but I believe you.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see, 4 or 5 years down the road, like what happens. But I mean, I guess I'm also just, I have no attachment. The one thing that would make me maybe care, but I'm sure they would fuck it up, would be a proper Warcraft 3 or a 4. A proper Warcraft 4.
What's the motivation to do that, though?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's one of the things I'm saying. Yeah. They have none. Like, why would they? Like, who's gonna buy RTSs, especially good ones? You know,
especially on Xbox.
Oh, especially there. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's exactly right. They have no incentive. I mean, they're not making Microsoft. Microsoft has never. There was another article I saw on PC Gamer. I didn't go through it. I don't know if it's worth like reading through, but it was just making the point that basically Microsoft gaming wise has two things. It has Microsoft Flight Simulator, which is essentially just they purchased the rights to the original Flight Simulator from 1970, just called Flight Simulator from 1979, and then Age of Empires.
Yeah, well, I mean, did they have first party studios doing like Halo Wars?
Yeah, they had a bunch of for a while, but like, I mean, yeah, of
ongoing,
course, Halo was like closely has been still arguably is. I guess you could say Halo too, but like. It's just they're not Halo was Bungie. It wasn't Microsoft, right?
But it is Microsoft now.
Yeah, what I mean is like, I don't know. I'm just thinking also of there was a period where Microsoft Game Studios was a thing, and like they did Combat Flight Simulator and a couple other.
I think you're kind of off, but there's a lot of first party Microsoft studios. I can name.
All right, sure. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I remember when it was a big deal. When, what was it? That some dungeon crawler game. I think another ARPG kind
of. Well, a lot of like what they did was like if a game got real big on like Xbox Live Arcade or Xbox.
Yeah,
Live,
they would just acquire.
They would just buy that small studio. Yeah. They have a pretty deep bench of those guys now. You ever play State of Decay?
No,
real good zombie game from like that era.
Like first person, third person,
acquired like almost after. It was like halfway through development they were acquired. Like they put it early access on PC or whatever and got snapped up immediately and. You know, they.
So Halo is now Microsoft Game Studios.
It's 343.
Right,
same thing. That's a first party Microsoft. Yeah, okay. They did the model of one big studio doesn't make any sense at a certain point.
Yeah,
and they just do like they basically like a publisher in a certain way that's just Microsoft. It's more like Microsoft Publishing than Microsoft. Like first part, Microsoft is a publishing company more than a development company at a certain point.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that
is them, you know.
Yeah, sure. That is Microsoft. Yes, that's true.
And now Activision's like in that umbrella too.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure over the next however long we'll start to see reports from like, you know, this is, you know, how it is now. And
you know, it's always like a thing. I don't know. It still is like who gets like the Call of Duty DLC first? Is it going to be the?
Oh, yeah, the Xbox or the 360?
Is it now
PlayStation?
Now just always Xbox? Or do they still try to get that money from Sony? Like, hey, how much do you want to throw up for, you know?
Well, timed exclusives, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, it seems like there's a...
You just ask Sony for a bribe at the end of the day. It doesn't even matter, you know? It's just a bribe at the end of the day, right? There's a reason Sony can't just offer them a bribe.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. No, that's exactly what it is, and that's exactly right. And, Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question of like, I mean, that's to me, it's a question of like, when does the PlayStation install base decline to a point, because they're struggling, when does it decline to the point where Microsoft starts thinking there's more to be gained by having it as an exclusive than by just allowing, you know, having access to the PlayStation market?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's a hot console war takes. I think I've said it in the past that Microsoft's not like playing to win. They're not trying to kill Sony.
No.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
The point
like Nintendo and Sega, where it was a fight to the death. Yeah. Nintendo won.
It's much more like, you know, the console war as it is now is just like, whatever. Like, Microsoft Game Studio is like a tiny corner of Microsoft whose job is to be like, hope you think Xbox instead of like vaccines. Like, that's like at a certain point, like, that's their job, you know?
Yeah.
It's so no one realizes that it's actually like a military industrial complex company. You know, at this point.
Yeah, totally.
And everybody's just,
their rivalry isn't with Sony, it's with Amazon.
It was like Amazon and like foreign governments.
Yeah.
Like
maybe Oracle, not even, right?
No, yeah. It's like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's not going to be like, I don't think there's ever going to be like, I think the current console war setup is going to be like almost forever, where it's just increasingly better consoles.
Well, that's where I was going was, I'm not sure that that's true. The consoles themselves, of course, will continue to be basically slightly stripped down PCs with standardized parts, which allow for a certain kind of both economy of scale on the price side and like economy of production on the design side.
Yeah.
But as far as the, like, I mean, the model of, because really at the end of the day, then what distinguishes these boxes from each other is the software ecosystem. And in, you know, when you have hundreds of millions, you know, the install bases in the hundreds of millions, if not billions, on ultimately on both sides, like, it's just like the timed exclusives is probably the best thing you can do, and even that is sort of like, you know, what are you even doing at the end of the day? Like how much does that? Epic is pouring tens of billions of dollars into paying for, you know, Epic Store exclusives and giveaways. And they're not making money from that, you know, like, they have tons of money. They're not hurting. They're still hugely profitable, but their game store is a giant, so giant, giant.
Is a possible thing is that all of these products as service things, Battle.net, Origin, I think like there is probably some, probably actually very decent, is that like, so Activision now is owned by Microsoft. So you had your Xbox account and your Microsoft like Word, Outlook account, or whatever, that kind of got merged. Now you can use your Outlook like email.
Yeah, right. Or for like Xbox.
Now in like say 2 years, you can use that for Battle.net.
Sure.
Or like it's all becomes one thing.
One launcher. Yeah. But the launcher wars is like, that's what I'm saying.
That's arguably the next wars.
Is the launcher wars?
Yeah, but Epic's already doing that.
The
launcher wars have been declared at a certain point. Like,
Steam versus Epic versus
Origin versus...
But Origin is such a piece of shit.
Like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. GOG. Look at GOG. GOG's a kid.
GOG's not bad at all, actually. Yeah. I would defend GOG. You know? I don't know if you were going to like...
No, I'm saying like, they're good. Like, I'm saying like, the war's already started. Like,
sure.
Like, what is GOG... What price does GOG offer you? Like, DRM, that's their hook, right?
Yeah.
What does Origin offer you? EA games. What does Epic offer you?
Bunch of free shit.
Free shit, yeah. What does Steam offers you? First mover,
best prices,
existing library,
more consistent sales than Epic.
What you already bought there, which is
yeah, definitely. Workshop integration. I mean, there's, you know, Steam is, I think, still the default.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, that's, I think launcher wars are arguably the next thing. And
yeah,
but like, also the great thing about launcher wars is like, I can have,
How
many launchers can I fit in this hard drive? Let's find out. Yeah.
I can fit so many EXEs in this bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually uninstalled Battle.net 2 days ago. I hadn't used it in fucking forever. I realized I would never. It's two gigs. Fuck that.
Yeah. The launcher is 2 gigs? Fuck that. Wow. Yeah. No, I don't think I'm ever.
Or something. Something just said Battle.net 2 gigs. I was like, fuck that. Yeah. Maybe it was like,
maybe it had something installed, but who cares?
I was like, fuck that 2 gig. Go fuck yourself.
I guess I could always reinstall it if I want to like play StarCraft Classic or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know.
You get the, I wonder, wait till you can get like classic games on GOG.
On GOG,
deal with fucking launchers.
I'm sure GOG wants that. I guess that's like the one thing
yeah.
that Blizzard still has. But yeah, no, I mean that the whole obviously console, it's an interesting kind of dynamic. Consoles are, you know, just going to be the major install base. So yeah, things like real time strategy games or anything that's really PC centric is.
I mean, launcher wars against you also when you get like how Ubisoft and EA were like slipping their launchers into consoles.
Yeah. Ubisoft had, I forgot. Yeah, Ubisoft wait, into consoles.
Yeah, like. If you're playing,
that's news to me. I guess I haven't played these games on console.
I play a lot of Assassin's Creed. I think they've chilled out with it recently.
They put the launcher like on PlayStation and Xbox.
Like if you have to log in inside of, so you would play Assassin's Creed whatever, and you have to log on to Ubisoft account inside.
They
the game.
Did that with the I remember with Shadow of Mordor, the first one.
Yes, yeah,
that was I think the first one that they
really
did that
chilled
with.
Out with that. But it used to be like unplayable. Or a big pain in the ass if you're trying. You could get around it, but
Shadow of Mordor was more bonuses, and then as I understand it, in Assassin's Creed, it got really bad. Yeah. Wow. And Ubisoft also, or is it Ubisoft? Well, who has Far Cry is Ubisoft, right?
Yes.
So yeah, they were the ones who were emailing people for like not playing the game enough,
and then EA basically cut a deal with Microsoft where like you guys like you can they integrated their like free. $10 a month for a service into Microsoft's like $10.
Oh, I didn't know. Like the EA, whatever it is, the Access, All Access or something.
There's like some level of integration.
With Xbox Game Pass?
Yeah.
Probably for big titles, I could see that. And that's probably mutually profitable.
Yeah. So we'll see. I have some other gaming news that's way funnier if we want to change
yeah,
gears.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fine.
So you're familiar with the Nation of Andorra?
Small European, like Liechtenstein, but not.
Yeah, small European nation, like the Spanish.
The Spanish Liechtenstein.
Yeah, yeah, that one. So there's one telecom company in the whole.
Sure.
Sure. There was some level of, it was streamed on Twitch, it was a very high level competition, some kind of Microsoft sub, like Squid Games, whatever, a gaming tournament on Twitch.
Of like what game?
It was Minecraft, but some like very
competitive Minecraft.
It was very important. People were hyped.
Sure.
Apparently, once again, you know, fractured culture. I had no idea. You know, there. You know, what is the West? Who knows? Anyway, this was happening.
What are values?
Yeah. And
what's a family?
Apparently, one of the teams was Andorran.
Okay.
You know, there's a
sure. There's an Andorran team.
Yeah. And they were a decent chunk of this tournament. Like, anyway. Allegedly, no one knows who did it, but while this tournament was going on, the Nation of Andorra's only telecom thing was DDoSed and knocked all the players out of the tournament.
Wow.
To knock them out, like, as a, because, like, how much
protection
resource,
are they going to have?
Resource do you have? Yeah, like, DDoSed.
So it was remote. It wasn't, I guess that makes sense.
Someone knocked them off the,
wow.
Yeah.
Did that count as a disqualification under tournament rules?
I have no idea. Yeah. I just saw that in last.
But
knocking out nation states to win your Twitch tournament is pretty.
That's pretty based.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Oh man, I hope it didn't count as a DQ though. That would suck for those guys. I mean, I can kind of understand it, but
it's all live, you know. I think at a certain point,
yeah, like, you have to do as best you can. But a lot of tournaments have rules, especially remote tournaments have rules for like if you get disconnected and it's. Not your fault, and we can verify. They'll have people like on webcams, like, yeah, he didn't mess with the Ethernet cable or whatever.
That is hilarious, though.
It is very funny. I agree. Where did you? How did you come across that story?
It was all over. I think it was on Rock Paper Shotgun. It was on IGN. It was
Rock Paper Shotgun. You said
it made real news. I think also.
I had, because
a whole nation went down. Like,
sure. I can see how that would absolutely make like real world news. Yes. No, I was going to say about Rock Paper Shotgun. I used to read them more or less religiously, and then. I especially like they had a Friday wargaming and simulation column, the Flare Path, which was always the best part of the site. And then one day I got in a fight it was very much Gamergate tier thing, but it was like a couple years after Gamergate, although I guess in a sense we're still living in Gamergate. It's just Gamergate from all the way down from now on. But anyway, one of their like former part-time contributors is a tranny who had a game about being a tranny, and they referred to the tranny as she in the body text. And in the comments, I was like, you mean he? And then I got banned, and they were basically like, take your shit elsewhere. I'm like, fine. And I haven't visited Rock Paper Shotgun since. Except for once or twice recently, the other day it was in the content because I was mentioning my like giant, like 400 page hardbound manual for War in the East, finally arrived. I look forward to like doing that, like simultaneously with the reading of Stalin's War. Like I think that'll make for a fun experience. I actually have a whole set. We could maybe do it. I have a whole segment in my head about there's a book. I actually, ironically, it was recommended by a, or maybe not. It was, I think it was on the Flare Path, as I was mentioning on this wargaming column on Rock Paper Shotgun. This book, Simulating War, by Philip Sabin, and it's a really cool book. I haven't read all of it, but I wanted to like return to it. I read like the first couple chapters, and it's basically about, as his title says, like simulating war, but like what is war? What is war in relation to games? What is a war game? What is the history of war games? What are the kinds of choices that war game designers have to make when they're designing games? What does that tell us about the nature of games, the nature of warfare, and so on? And I think it, like, the part of what's going on in the back of my mind is like, okay, so I want to finish reading that book, think about it, and then read this manual, and that's probably also enough, but also obviously play the game and think about, like, okay, fuel obviously is like the number one or one of the primary overriding considerations here. Like, how much fuel do you have to support, like, this, you know, all these kinds of crazy things that are alleged, right? I mean, obviously it's a kind of, but just to think about it in like operational terms, as like, you know, these are, you know, you have different, you know, army groups that need certain things, and but like in the background somebody's wondering like, okay, yeah, but they really need this much
how many trains of coke,
right? Yeah, exactly, you know, because logistics are really, really like, the logistics modeling is like, that's one of the main things that designers spend a lot of time on, is like, basically, as I understand the rules, supply moves as freight, and freight is measured in tons, and it includes like a certain amount of like essentially food, fuel, and I forget what else, but like all that kind of stuff moves as like generic freight. But like the railways themselves, like, you know, you only have so much rail capacity, and then it needs to get from the railhead to wherever it's going, right? So anyway, it was just the thought of like, you know, trying to look at it in all these terms. But anyway, so it was in the context of all that. I was looking at Rock Paper Shotgun. That dude who wrote that column isn't even there anymore. He has his own website, and I don't have to go to Rock Paper Shotgun to read him. And from the rest of it, it just looked like kind of nothing I wouldn't get on PC Gamer, it's just essentially. Average, yeah. So it was like whatever. But that's funny because I hadn't seen that story on PC Gamer. I thought it would. I assumed it would have made. So maybe it just, I didn't read carefully enough. I don't know. But yeah, that is really funny about the Andorran state telecom agency,
the only ISP in the country.
Crazy, and they're just and some angry gamers like, ha ha, I know what I can do. Yeah.
Oh, it was goodness. Also it was the Squid Games mod tournament.
What, like Squid Game, like the Netflix show?
Yeah, they made a mod based on the TV show, and there's some little tournament. Twitch rivals.
Well, that makes it sound like. Oh wait. So was it like, what was the audience like? Was it a big audience?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay.
So Twitch rivals is like this thing what Twitch does internally, where, from what I understand, there are
rival streamers that go
streamers. Yeah, they'll be like kind of make rivalries and they'll play each other. Oh my god. They're all.
I hate this shit so much.
Yeah. And some, you know.
Apparently. What goes wrong in your life if you're like, yeah, I'm gonna be a Twitch streamer?
I think it's more of like a, like. I don't know. There's a level of nihilism to it. Like, every job is fake.
True. 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 And I might as well like play video games.
If
and
I can
be
make,
funny
like,
on
if
the
I
internet,
can like,
yeah.
If I can yeah. just play video games and like feed
yeah, what
myself.
What am I gonna do? Work at McDonald's? Like,
yeah.
$25 an hour though. I don't know.
Yeah. But like, if you can just feed yourself at a certain point, it's like, eh, well, it's more fun than
yeah.
what I could
wage
be doing.
Slaving.
Also, yeah. you know, you do get like, if you're into video games, it's like the thing to do.
I always wonder about that though. Like. QA testers and stuff like that. I mean, don't you? It's like, let's say
that's something you start hating video games, I imagine,
or even playing them professionally. That's what I'm saying. Like, could you imagine how much like pro StarCraft, pro League of Legends characters must hate the game? Like, I would. I can't. Maybe they just. But it's like you don't even have time to play other games. Like, you're a professional athlete, sort of.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the weirdest, funniest thing that I've noted is that like you'll see YouTubers get caught in a what do you call it, like a algorithm trap. Where they get stuck, they only play this one game, or the algorithm.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, totally.
It's like, oh yeah, you've been playing a lot of Hearts of Iron for the last decade, dude.
Yet, well, Hearts of Iron is a different thing.
No,
that's,
but you can
that's
get,
not what I'm talking about.
You
I'm talking
get,
about
no,
like
but still, like if you're playing that like a game, like a video a day of Hearts of Iron, it's a lot of fucking.
That's a lot of Hearts of Iron. That's a lot of Hearts
yeah,
of Iron.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's only so much Hearts of Iron.
But I feel like the algorithm wouldn't punish you for like Europa Universalis or Stellaris, right?
I don't know. What.
Maybe it would. I don't know. Maybe if those
the
are
key
like,
words of like Hearts Around 4 and like yeah. the next video plays. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Can you imagine having to... Oof. Well, I mean, I don't blame them at a certain level, as you say. Like, what are they going to do that's better?
Yeah, also, like, you get good at a genre, right? You're good at presenting, you know?
Well, you could do, like, a red letter B. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing, I guess, at a certain level. We're just not, like...
Yeah.
I guess I could see us doing... I thought about doing Let's Play, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe, again, off base. I'm off base a lot today. but, yeah, no, because I guess it's different...
I watched the Total... Speaking of, I watched some Total War, like, actual people good at playing it.
Okay.
I was like, okay, this makes more sense.
All right.
Like I said some bad things about how the game.
Yeah, yeah, you were like the no, and, but I auto resolve. I auto resolve, especially yeah. towards the end of a campaign. I massively auto resolve.
Yeah. So the systems are.
I think everyone does.
I was looking into how do you like play Total War and enjoy it, because like I it's the game I would like and don't.
sure.
Apparently, the way you actually enjoy it is you have to play it at like the highest difficulty for everything, and it becomes like a game of like cheesing it somewhat, but like. Which I can understand. I get that.
Totally.
Where you're like, you're doing systems to cheese them to have like fun in that sense. Because like I got into a very artistic when I was playing. I played a lot of Attila actually because I enjoyed
Attila the Hunt. Okay, yeah, Attila the Total War. Yeah,
yeah. I was like trying to like role play it, and it's not really that. The simulation isn't good enough to like
role play.
I'm playing as the Huns. I'm playing as the whatevers.
Yeah.
No, you have to just like. I'm playing to win this game, and then you can enjoy it. Which okay, makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
So maybe I was a little harsh on Total War, how the strategy layer and the battle layer are also both bad. Yes, they are both bad, but I understand how you could find fun of them now, I think.
I enjoyed the shit out of Rome Total War, especially, and Rome 2 even. I know it got, the map is a little too big, maybe more than a little too big, but, it also just feels epic, and I don't know. I only ever played it from the Emperor's Edition once they had cleaned it up a bunch, and they have like I think a high definition remaster or whatever 4K remaster not that long ago. I think that's where like this formula really works to my mind is essentially, which is how it originally started too with like Shogun is you know classical kind of infantry. Artillery / archers and cavalry kind of balance, right? And like, did you play much Rome? Or
I played a lot of Attila. I played a little bit of Rome. And then I'm probably going to get into like the Warhammer stuff is actually really good. And that's all
the newer titles are also, I've noticed like a lot, they're basically by default on the arcade mode. Like they move way too fast and they're like,
Better. Like the total, like, I get why, like, it's why every, there's been three total, you know, there's been three Warhammers out in the last, like, five years? Yeah.
Well, I know there was one, two, and a giant expansion.
Three just
two.
Came out. Or it's coming out.
I think it's coming out very soon.
Yeah, people already have it. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's already some people's hands.
Some people's hands have it.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. But yeah, I knew it was, like, imminent.
Yeah. And that's, like, I think there's a reason, that formula transfers over really well.
Like, for the most part, yeah. They also have, like, flying units and magic and shit, which I'm kind of not that into, but yeah
but I think you need like something to try set
at a certain point. Yes, like, definitely, yeah. And like different mechanic, and like each what's cool about that is like even more, like, you know, when you're no longer bound by even any kind of pretense.
Well, also they can pull from all the eras, right? Like so you can pull, like, they, like, there are like dwarf units that play like the Napoleonic riflemen. It's like, okay. sure
why not,
fuck it.
Yeah,
and that's cool at a certain point. So like you can basically just combine things you like.
Yeah.
And it seems to, like, people really like that. People seem to really like that stuff. Like,
I played the first one. I was so frustrated by the real time battles that I basically just auto resolved the whole campaign. And midway through, I tried to start playing a few, and I was like so out of the, I just hadn't ever learned the mechanics. So it was just frustrating, and I was like, I'm just going to keep auto resolving.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That was my experience with Total War Hammer 1. And then I got two on sale and I never played it, of course. So
speaking of news, there's a new Red Dragon war game.
New Red Dragon or like a new
Red Dragon sequel.
Okay.
So there's some right stuff with what war game is. Now it's called Warno.
there's some rights stuff?
There's some rights issues.
What's the rights issue?
It was a publisher-developer split over who owns the Wargame name.
That's so lame.
But whatever. Now it's called Warno. It's just Red Dragon, but it's much...
Better.
Yeah. They had some, some improvements. I'm very excited.
Cool.
The Wargame series, like, one of the few games... that's, like, my game. I keep going back to once a year to play. It's real good. Obviously,
I tried playing. What was the World War II one?
Steel Division.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great. That one's good. It's very, very different.
I found myself like
armor facing and shit matters a lot more in that game. Well, it matters in the War Game too, but like you get like it's very granular.
Yeah, that's what I noted, and I was like, it was a little bit too granular for me, especially coming off Company of Heroes. It was just,
oh no, you get your shit rocked.
Yeah. So I was like, nah. But then I thought like the modern stuff would probably be, because also then you get like
So there's a middle ground between called a regiment, which is like the War Game style scenarios, Cold War Gone Hot, but units are a little chunkier that you might really enjoy.
What's it called?
Regiment.
Regiment. All right, I'll check it out.
It's like in the middle ground of like, it's it looks like War Game, but there's health bars basically.
Okay.
Which I think you might.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Cool. All right. Interesting.
Because War Game, I really like War Game, but yeah, that game, it's real autistic. And
no, autism doesn't... I mean, War in the East is super autistic. It's not the autism.
No, but like it's like speed autistic. It's like
my... Yeah, that speed autism. That kind of like meth energy is not my thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why... yeah, exactly. I always enjoyed treating the Total War. I use a lot of the real-time pause and draw the little lines and like thinking, yeah, stop the battle, think about like stuff. I like that too, in the slower pace in some of the old Civil War and Napoleonic era strategy games, because those, especially essentially the more realistic they are, excuse me, the more realistic they are, the slower they are essentially. And so you get a lot of time to think about, when and how to advance your infantry regiment over this hill or whatever. It's more my speed, I guess.
Yeah. God, I hate it. I wanted to like Napoleon Total War so much. I love
to treat it as like a story game.
I love that era so much.
Yeah.
But like the actual gameplay.
I pointedly do not. There was, what was it called? Austerlitz and Waterloo were two. It was a game of Napoleonic basically simulation and its sequel from like kind of bookends of the era. And then there are a couple others like of that style. And then the Gettysburg series, and basically they took some engines from other stuff. Anyway, yeah, the Civil War and Napoleonic are pretty much the same.
Yeah, but like in Total War, you would get in like melee combat, and the game would just stop. Like, fuck that.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, that's
so gay.
Yeah. So no, they the Total. Yeah, I don't know. We don't want to rag on Total War too hard or too long, but yeah, it's
I'm amazed that it's so popular. I'm getting back in like my hatred. Like, I'm amazed how popular that series is. I guess with the war. Also, I would play if they made like 40K Total War. I'd play that in a heartbeat. Yeah, so fast. You have no idea. Like your head would spin how much I play that fucking game.
Yeah, that would be fucking awesome. It's kind of crazy they haven't made it yet, especially with how successful. Do they think that the 40K would not be as successful as the fantasy?
So like, the fantasy is like playing very true to like the fantasy map and like the world, if you will, whatever you call that. And like
how would you do that?
You can't.
Yeah,
you would
do a Soulstorm thing of like, this is a planet we're fighting.
Yeah, on. But like in, well, yeah, who knows? You know,
it's a tough thing, because then how do you get all the factions, right?
Yeah,
or like, but could you do like a Stellaris, and then it's
maybe you could do like a Imperium,
but then how do you do like,
you could do like an,
the scale is
so
tough.
The problem with it with doing like is how weird to have the faction.
40K 4X would be rad as hell though.
I feel like it's been done.
Has it been done? I don't think
sure.
So.
I'm not sure. There was a fan.
I can't think
there's
of
a really old game that's not doesn't count. But like, how would you even do? Like, for the if you're playing, oh, I'm playing as the Imperials, or I'm playing as if I'm playing as Space Marines, then your base unit is like, what, two Space Marines?
Oh, I see. What you're saying. Yeah,
versus
yeah.
If I'm playing as the Imperial Guard, it's like a 50 man laser gun unit, or do you play as like Space Marines as like your elite units as the Imperials? But then like, you're not playing like a Space Marine faction. Like,
yeah,
the whole thing about Total War is that you can break it, like every little faction has their
their thing. Yes,
and. Nah, who knows?
Yeah, it's, I guess. Okay, well, at least now we sort of spinning it out, we answered the question.
Yeah, nah, because it wouldn't.
It's tough. It doesn't translate well.
And they play it very close to, because they look, they're faithful to the source material. Like, that Chinese one seemed very close to the source material of like Lu Bao and all the Romance of Three Kingdoms stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny how that became like the template for the Warhammer. They made like these fantasy heroes for the Chinese one. Well,
that goes back to Rome too, I think, also with like the like gladiators and shit. Even Rome One had some of that wacky shit.
Yeah, but like just like I mean having like hero
oh hero in that sense.
Yeah, they had like oh, because you can't do that, you can't do Romance of Three Kingdoms like a hero unit.
Of course.
Because it's like it's based on
yeah.
And then they did like Greek, they did like the Trojan War, which didn't make any noise, which seemed like a cool idea at the time. You ever interact with that one?
Wait, which one?
The Trojan War, Total War?
Yeah, a little bit, actually,
that
yeah.
That seemed very cool.
No one played it. Yeah. Well, I think there's... Yeah,
it was free, wasn't it?
It was free at launch for like 24 hours, and I got the shit out of it. And then later on, there was a further free giveaway of the first like DLC.
Really?
So they really... I don't know why that just died on the vine. Yeah. The setting was great. It's yeah, I don't know. In general, it's interesting how like ancient Greece has all kinds of cool shit, and with that, with the exception of that and Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it hasn't really, especially recently, it's kind of just neglected.
I mean, you got called God of War shit too.
God of War, that's actually a great counterexample. I am just off base constantly.
No,
my
but like,
it's
been a while.
Awful.
God of War is like now it's now a Norse pagan game. So there's
that. Yeah, there's that. Yes, that's true. Which you know, whatever.
It's fine. yeah, no, it is. People like that. Ask you. All right, we need another topic. We gotta.
Yeah. Do we have something else? Take your time.
They said the 3070s got a price hike of like 20 pounds.
The what? Sorry.
The RTX 3070s.
Oh, got a high price hike.
But it was like 20 pounds sterling.
So who cares?
Yeah, it was really funny that was
the story. You making us pay more for this thing?
No, no. It was like there's only a price hike. People freaking out. It's like it's
20 bucks. Yeah, 20 pounds.
That is funny. No one can afford it anyway. So
no one can, who's yeah. buying them at MSRP?
That, yeah, yeah, yeah.
hey. Oh, which reminds me. I guess that's maybe we can close on this if that's all right. Speaking of RTX, made me think of crypto because like so. Not only is Ethereum like 2.0 nowhere to be seen, but we're currently in like one of the worst bear market conditions in a while. With like what was it you were saying? So we're recording this as the Russian stock market seems to be collapsing. The first story that I saw about this was the Kazakhstan Gayup. When the Kazakhstan Gayup hit, because apparently Kazakhstan mines like almost 15% or something of all Bitcoin, or like 20% or something. I had no idea.
Basically, they cut a deal where all the Chinese miners that were kicked out fled there.
Okay, makes so basically, sense. It's close.
Almost and, yeah. the entirety of the Chinese
thing just moved to Kazakhstan. Yeah. Yeah. So then that was knocked out temporarily, and that caused like that of like a first fluctuation, and now it's like I don't really. Are you,
that was pretty minor. That was just like that's one of those just so stories where like something happens with the crash, sure. And they blame that on that. Like,
but that wasn't a big crash. That's what I'm saying. That was like a little kind
but like
of
like losing some. Block speed doesn't actually cause a crash.
It's well, that's a yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And anyway, but now it's like people are. I mean, it's still kind of. I think one day it will be proven wrong, but in the medium term, yes, the Stone Toss comic is hilariously on point of like you know Bitcoin crashes to where it was a year ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, obviously, all this shit needs to be taken with several grains of salt. But it is kind of interesting that to see the effects or what certainly look like the effects of geopolitical instability on the price of Bitcoin is I don't remember that, or at least maybe it's not, who knows, but it seems like that's what's going on or like maybe I guess the more kind of to fill in some steps maybe from what people were saying and I think it makes sense and is that it's the instability is causing like speculative and especially tech stocks to fall, and that because Bitcoin is like fairly or unfairly lumped in with that, or that the kinds of people who are big into you know Tesla and Netflix are also big into Bitcoin, that these things move together.
There's some.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some truth to that.
I would say, yeah. Hey, it's entered price discovery in the other direction. You know, it's like we're probably going to see what the new floor is.
Yeah, yeah. And it's probably 30,000 or below, I would say.
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows?
It could be. I think 30,000 flat could be it. Like, I think this
could just be it.
Probably a lot of money looking to
if
bounce.
If you look, I mean, okay.
What's Sailor's average?
I'm not sure.
Uh,
I know, not Steve, but Michael.
Yeah. His average is like, what, 28, 29,000?
Probably thereabouts.
I bet there's a lot of money to jump in around like
there. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly,
a lot of money to jump in.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But then if you look, but that's, I've had this feeling for a while, and I, again, could be wrong. This is definitely not financial advice, but if you, okay, Bitcoin jumped all the way to 69 and has had its floor around 30. If you look, I mean, I'd be curious to do like a time-weighted average, but like, probably around, if you like, there's probably a thick line around 45, maybe 50, somewhere in that band. Like, that seems to me like I've felt it's not unlikely that that's just kind of, yeah, you may see movement, you know, even up to 100K or something, but that's for now in inflation adjusted terms seems to be kind of what the baseline is to me. Could be wrong, but I also don't see much. I don't see much, a whole lot of downside, at least in the short to medium term. I also don't see a whole lot of upside. Like, what, you know, this is, I guess, maybe verging. I wouldn't say, no, never mind. This is not financial advice, but like,
speculation.
It's speculation, purely. But it's interesting to consider, like, you know, do you buy Bitcoin in the expectation that the value is going to go up? Like, why? And how much do you expect it to go up and why? You know, like, that's sort of.
Also, I think, other thing, Bitcoin also drives everything else down, right? So if.
Yes, that it definitely.
Which is great. Because, like, if you're trying to actually do Ethereum as a product,
yes,
it's great.
Yeah, cheaper, yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. When it's cheaper, well, that's my problem with Ethereum is, at least as far as I can tell, the, you know, hodlers benefit from the price going up, users benefit from the price going down. Yeah. Like, that's not a situation that you want to be in. Like, that's just kind of at cross purposes.
It's awesome for me. I'm a user of...
You're a user of Ethereum. Yeah.
Speaking of users of Ethereum, or not Ethereum, actually, because you fucking can't because it's too expensive. But Antelope Hill now accepts Bitcoin and XMR.
Can you maybe walk us through, since you're going to, if you know or if you can tell us, like, so how does one acquire Monero, ticker XMR, and why would one want to, and how would one use it?
So the primary way is probably, I think the majority of people use, there are server, like, places you can put your credit card in the internet and get XMR out at a certain rate. The most popular way that it's probably done in terms of people who are like safety conscious.
Okay.
Is local, much like, if you've heard of local Bitcoin.
No, is that like over the counter?
No, local Bitcoins is a service that, like, it's kind of like, it tastes like a Craigslist effectively, where you go and say, hey, I'm selling, such and such. I'm in the US, I'm selling.
So it's over the counter.
Yeah, basically, where I'm selling X at you at this price,
and you have an escrow guy who
and like you pay over PayPal or
whatever,
e-check or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the most common way to get in.
Is that safer than using like some kind of exchange?
No, a KEX would be better, but you can't use Monero on a KEX. That's
about Bitcoin. On a DEX. I mean, like on a distributed exchange. Like, there's no distributed exchanges.
No, because there's no like they're on different chains. Or it's like,
but I mean, it's like, could you buy, let's say
there are places where Bitcoin, you can trade Bitcoin then, for Monero, but it's not the most popular way to do it. Sure. Most people
just buy over the counter.
Yes, most people buy it for cash at these kind of like semi escrow sites that are called local whatevers.
Okay.
Much like local Bitcoins used to be like the way you
I would have assumed that like KuCoin or something would be the, I don't know, I guess KuCoin doesn't have
I believe it, Kraken is dipping their toes in it. It's very fraught regulatory because
it's banned everywhere, like, for, you know,
yeah,
for a good reason, in a sense, from the persistence perspective.
It's banned from... Well, it's banned, like, the... You can own it.
You are legal. They can't... Well, they don't try, and they aren't trying to prevent you legally from owning it, whatever that would even... I mean, what do you... To have from memorizing a sequence of letters? You know, like what is... Right? But the... you can't, like, exchange it for fiat, essentially. Yeah. Like,
it's very difficult.
Very difficult.
But it's not... There are guides on... I would just Google it if you're interested, generally, but the way that you cash out...
You meant to say Yandex.
Who? Oh.
Sorry, I'm talking to the audience.
Yeah. But... Yeah, no, and it's... Once you're in the ecosystem, it's quite easy. XMR is kind of paradoxically not super volatile because it's...
No, it makes perfect sense because it's like, it's been stuck around $200 and you know, whatever.
And that works, but actually it's more effective as a currency for it.
Of course. Of course. Well, that's the problem with Bitcoin, or one of the problems with Bitcoin, right? Is like, I mean, okay, currency doesn't necessarily need... I mean, the idea that you're... Anyway, I don't want to be spurgy, autistic about... We could talk about crypto another time. But yeah, I think what should be obvious reasons, and maybe think about it if you don't understand it, like the currency should be stable in value,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And yeah, Monero is fairly stable in value in a way that Bitcoin just isn't.
I think because it's hard to speculate on, right? Because
yeah. I mean, that's definitely a huge reason. May not be the only one, but yeah. So anyway, I think that's probably enough for today. Hope you all enjoyed. And yeah, we're definitely gonna keep monitoring the situation. It's funny, when we started doing this, I just assumed we wouldn't ever have much to talk about on the news side of things, but that's just clearly not the case. Good. Gives us plenty to talk about. All right. Hope you all enjoyed. Take care, everybody.
I'm an